As Michael Cohen testifies on Capitol Hill, President Trump is in Vietnam for round two of nuclear talks with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. The two men smiled and shook hands, posing for photos in front of a row of American and North Korean flags today. President Trump said he thinks this summit will build on the first, which was last June in Singapore. Here and now, security analyst Jim Walsh joins me now. He's with the MIT Security Studies Program. Jim, hi.
Good to see you, Peter.
Good to see you. Big cloud hanging over this summit is whether the president will be distracted in these negotiations by what's happening on Capitol Hill today with the testimony of Michael Cohen. Legitimate concern?
Well, gosh, I hope not. I assume that would put him in a foul mood and could, in theory, have some impact on the negotiations that are taking place there. My guess is that there'll be enough to do in Hanoi in meetings, in ceremonies, meeting with top aides, that hopefully that won't be too much of a problem.
Well, some people are concerned that the president will be tempted to offer concessions to North Korea, for example, a deal to end the war, just to distract from what's happening in Washington.
Yeah, you know, I can't really comment on what is going on in his head. Is that possible? I guess it is possible. You know, I hope it's not true. The way I've characterized what we might expect coming out of Hanoi, I think the most likely scenario is one where we have a series of modest steps, changes in declaratory policy. You know, we get up and we pledge to do this or we promise to do that. And then some smaller actions around the fringes that begin the process forward. I don't think we're going to have a big detailed plan because the parties haven't been meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the U.S. Special Representative to North Korea only met his counterpart within the last month. And if you remember the Iran negotiations, they took two years of intense, you know, weekly, monthly negotiation with working groups. And, you know, none of that's happened. So I don't expect big detailed agreements. I expect declarations and small stuff. But to your question, there is also the possibility that when you get those two guys in the room, they may just go off on their own based on instinct, in the case of the president, and go do something that's more sweeping.
The president has said that he's not backing away from this goal of getting Kim to give up his nuclear program. Can he still do that? You mentioned the step-by-step process where they slowly get there, but do you think it's realistic that they really can?
Well, I don't think we should prejudge the outcome. If we walk into this thinking it's not going to work, then no one's going to make the hard decisions required to make it work. And so it seems to me what you do is you put your head down and you, you know, work away at the thing that's right in front of you, which I think is probably shutting down their plutonium reactor and having that verified in some manner, preferably with people from IAEA, and then you move on to the next thing, and then hopefully you wake up one day and you're done.
Mm.
But I'm not going to get all skittish about the end before I've even started.
One of the things that's interesting to me is the setting. President Trump is clearly trying to use Vietnam as an example of what North Korea could be if it chooses to comply in these negotiations. Is that a convincing message that North Korea could become like this booming country, Vietnam?
Well, I think it's an attractive message. I think it makes it more attractive that you have an example, you know, that a meeting's being held in what would be, you know, case exhibit A for that sort of thing. But I think the president and others need to be reminded countries make decisions not only based on economic policy, but first and foremost, their national security.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I offer you a ton of cash, but you end up losing power or your, you know, country begins to spiral or you feel vulnerable and defenseless, that's not going to work. So, yes, economic incentives, great. We should use more incentives in foreign policy than we do. But unless we solve the national security piece of this, then it's not going to move forward, especially on a topic like nuclear weapons.
Well, even U.S. intelligence agencies are telling the president that Kim is very unlikely to give up his weapons.
Well, I always say, you know, having done this for 20 years, I never say never when it comes to the North Koreans. I've heard them take every conceivable position. We're going to give them up. We're going to keep them forever.
Mm-hmm.
We won't use them first. We'll use them if you smile at us the wrong way. I've heard everything.
Let's say there is an announcement in the next day or so that both sides will pursue a formal end to the Korean War. Security implications in your mind to that?
Well, I think it's welcome. Again, that's a declaration.
And it's political. It's not official.
Right. And that's different than a peace agreement. So declaring the war is over is a set of words saying we're not fighting anymore. And then ultimately that has to be anchored in some sort of treaty or peace agreement. That's typically what is required. And that's going to have a whole bunch of details that are not going to be worked out. So we're at the point where we're saying it and words matter. And so I think it's a helpful small step on the way to bigger things.
Jim Walsh, Here and Now security analyst with MIT's Security Studies Program. Thanks as always.
Thank you.